Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
We just got past the Ultimate Contest weekend. I don't mean past in a bad way. It was fun last week. Radio Row, bunch of fantasy folks out here, a lot of celebs on the scene, radio stations, the podcast from around the country, and it's all leading up to Circa Million, Circa Survivor. Cutoff for that sign-up day. Deadline is September 7th at 2 o'clock. They're all tied around pro football. Circa Million, pick five games against the spread. Do it all season long. They got quarterly prizes. If you get hot for, you know, just 4 weeks, you can win. Basically, it resets that way with each quarter of the season. Then there's overall standings where you can win big money at the end of the season here at Circa Las Vegas or any Circa sports property. Circa Million, Circa Survivor. Cofield & Company's in. You should be in. Sign up. $16 million up for grabs. $16 million is guaranteed. $10 million for Survivor. $6 million for Circa Million. So we start off the 5 o'clock hour. Much to get to. I feel like Danny is in, like, full-on football season mode now. You are tracking a bunch of games. Colorado and North Dakota State are kicking off. Yep. North Carolina, Minnesota is kicking off. What else are you watching? What do we got in terms of score updates?
Right now, Rutgers and Howard just kicked off second half. Rutgers is up 17-7. And then I can't see who Wake Forest is playing, but I believe that game is tied at 7, if I'm not mistaken. And then, as you said, Buffalo, the Colorado Buffaloes and North Dakota State, they have the big screen out here at Stadium Swim.
Wake is actually down 10-7, and here we go, right? We already heard the Howard score with the FCS against FBS matchups. There's going to be some FBS teams that just, you know, are not humming early on, and you got max motivation on the side of the little guy who only gets to play these guys at the highest level once or twice. So, yeah, North Carolina A&T, 10-7 on Wake Forest, and we'll try to get some more scores. Lots to bet today. It's a good schedule. I did mention always trying to find in the first 3 weeks one of those, like, plus 45, plus 50, plus 54s. And generally in those situations when I take a dog that's getting 45 to 53, they're down like 42-0 at the half. So off to a good start with Arkansas Pine Bluff. Intense rivalry with Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting 50.5. They're down 20-0 just 10 minutes in. So I'm fighting for dear life on that one.
21-0.
Come on, Pine Bluffers. Let's go. Oh, you got the extra point. You're ahead of me. All right, we'll be tracking this the rest of the show.
We also have what is what should be a very intense battle between Coastal Carolina and Jacksonville State.
Okay. Are you joking?
I'm just saying that. I don't know.
I mean, Coastal is an elite program for the level they're at, and Jacksonville State is actually coached by Rich Rod. So these are, you know, these are programs that I have high expectations. I'm glad you might have been joking. It's actually, it's a big game. It's absolutely a big game, especially for Jackson State. Jared is here. What's going on, buddy? 5 o'clock hour. I feel like 5 o'clock on a Thursday is basically the beginning of your Friday. So you starting to chill?
Yeah, I mean.
Or is that Monday is your Friday?
Yeah, every day is Friday after like noon.
Well, must be nice. I don't know what you're doing during the day, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I find out during the show, I'm like, oh, you're doing that today. That seems kind of crazy. You had an ashtray concern.
Yes.
And garbage, and then we tested your greeting ability because you were working the front desk in addition to producing Cofield & Company. What did you like more, the front desk or the garbage duty?
Well, you feel more of a sense of accomplishment when you take out the trash.
I agree, and I don't want to do that, but if I was doing it, I would put an absolute, like, there's a zeal about me. I want to do it the right way. You know, how does Harbaugh put it? About attacking the day with, like, a ferocity mankind's never seen.
Okay. So you're very fierce.
I just want it done
ferocious.
Right. I want it done right.
Absolutely.
Like, it is a... It is internal most of the time. Okay, first of all, let's... Jared, you want to know this, right? Danny is... Like, I feel like he's a real man, but oftentimes he's an acquiescer. He's got, like, a calm baseline demeanor.
Yeah.
Pants. Everyone gets up in the morning. Who puts on the house pants? Is it you or your fiance? Wow, he's pausing.
Yeah,
that should have been a quick. Of course, me.
No, I wouldn't say that. This might sound very cliche, but we really are like 50-50.
Yeah, I like that. I don't think guys my age like that. They don't like to hear that from you guys. What are you, like a millennial?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I'm right in the middle. I'm 33.
Yeah. I would say between... let me get this right, because I don't want anyone to think I'm saying something. Between myself and the SO, the significant other, like, we wear big sweatpants. So okay. Each one of us kind of have a leg.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying the waist is like a 42 combined.
Yeah. No, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, but there are certain things I think, you know, I know she's in control of and has standards, and there's other things that I'm maniacal about. Like, I'm big on the recycle bin. I want boxes cut up. I want them folded. I want all the cans and jars and bottles in the recycle. We have to get this right. And then the funny thing is on the whole thing, because I'm very militant on that, then you find out they're like, like 10% of the stuff gets recycled. You're like, I'm doing all this? 10%?
My biggest thing that I get on everybody's nerves in my house about, it's turn the lights off.
I know.
That is my number one thing.
Yep.
Turn the lights off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, over the years, you try to have a clean house. I'm not great at it, and it will be ever seared in my mind when I wasn't getting the job done beneath my parents because they were the boss and mom was the boss. I can't tell you how many times she would yell out, "The maid died!"
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Blood curdling.
Yep, I heard that a lot.
Blood curdling. It's not good. But then when you're an adult, you understand. You're like, my God, I must have been annoying.
Yep.
I deserve beatings, a lot of them. I don't know how I wasn't just belted in the face, like almost every morning by my very diminutive mom. So dynamite. What a creep. I turned out decent, okay. Who do you think wears the pants in the house of the Staffords? Kelly or Matt? Matt, the quarterback for the Rams. Kelly, the wife.
I don't know. With all the great bites been coming out of her, I would assume that she does.
It's got to be her.
Yep.
Just
it seems like it. And this isn't about, like, who was saying it a few months ago? Seinfeld turned a lot of people off. Wasn't he talking about, like it wasn't, it was like masculinity. Like, masculinity of the past. And it doesn't mean, like Matt Stafford has to rule the roost, and maybe he does. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, you're intimidating your partner, your wife, your husband, whatever it is. But how about mutual respect?
Yes,
that is. Thank you.
That's the key one, right there.
That whole thing with her basically talking about she doinked someone else on the team. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. But she left it open to sound like she did.
Yeah,
because Matt wasn't giving her what she wanted. You know, a commitment. I can't figure out why he was a little wishy-washy on Kel back in college, because I'm sure she's a lot better now than she was back then.
Also, they were 20.
Yeah.
Right.
What 20-year-old do you know that is like, hey, 100%, let's get married now?
I'm a Division I quarterback who is the apple of every chick's eye on campus. I got to commit now?
And now look, he's got a Georgia quarterback backing him up.
And
look out.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Jared, I can hear the frustration in your voice, so I think I know where you're going here, because did she follow up on that dopey podcast thing where she sort of backtracked it a little bit? Is she now the victim?
So she said, basically, she wanted to give advice to all the NFL wives that they should be careful on social media, because you can really lose yourself in social media. By telling about a story about where you literally tried to doink your husband's teammate when you were 20.
To show him.
You lost yourself? Yeah. That was, you don't even need to share that.
Yes. Well, it's also.
You might lose yourself.
I like that she has a direct story, but you're absolutely the last person I want to listen to, because it's not the first time she did it.
Right.
You remember during COVID, she pissed and moaned about being locked up in a prison, and then people are like, wait, your house is that 11,000 square foot home that is worth more than almost every house in the Detroit area. You have a lake and a moat.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
There are houses in Detroit that have a bird barrel.
Yes, yes. They probably have they were so wealthy there, they had like a, I don't know what it would be. What's a better version of a burn barrel?
Bonfire. You have a permanent installation bonfire. You've got the propane tanks.
Yep.
Yeah, you got a fire pit in your backyard. Giant one with nice cushiony chairs
around
it.
The size of a pool. Yeah. Like you just burn everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, poor Kel.
Well, maybe she should have burned the memory of the issue at Georgia.
My biggest thing with this whole I lost myself thing is then don't have a podcast.
Yeah.
You chose to have a podcast. You
know what you're doing.
You chose to be the one who goes, I'm going to be the one who says some stuff that I know, maybe I don't know for a fact, but it's definitely going to reflect something on my husband, and my husband is going to have to talk to somebody from USA Today about, like, yeah, my wife said that. I would like to talk about the Packers game, please.
Now, here's the thing. You, like Kelly Stafford, have had experiences with podcasts. I actually believe you were mostly a victim in your case, which I'm not even sure if you remember the case, and I don't think you know about the blowback on the case. So you made one appearance on Cofield & Company's Late Night Happy Hour.
Oh, no, I remember the getting yelled at about that.
Well, the funny thing is, we got yelled at.
I got yelled at, too.
Jared came on, and it was like a loose podcast, and Jared started throwing some back, and he got a little lit up, and I don't remember you saying anything bad. You were just inebriated. And then I got yelled at, like, you know how Jared is, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. We came out, we were having fun. But to your point, we don't have to rehash that whole thing. To your point, and that person's not at Lotus Broadcasting anymore. We don't have to rehash it. To your point,
it's one of my favorite stories.
When you go on podcasts, you're rarely a victim. You probably know that it's going to be a little bit wilder. You're going to be under lighter standards than radio shows, terrestrial radio, and you may say some things. So you're not a victim, Kel.
Not even close.
But you are, Jared. We got you. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Last night, we were over at Parkway Tavern, the one on 215 of Flamingo. That's the home of the Barry Odom radio show. Danny, you weren't there?
I was not there.
I didn't see Tyler there from the press box. Jared, you were actually working. You were running the game.
Yeah. Wow.
That was the, to my knowledge, the biggest crowd for a UNLV football coaches show ever.
That crowd looked great. And last year we had some pretty big crowds, if I remember correctly, but that one, I would say yes, they blew it out of the water.
It was, I would put an estimate at, like, again, I don't want to get fire code issues here, but probably 400 or 500 people, right, in three different levels there, and that's a big Parkway Tavern.
I genuinely asked the engineer, could you please turn off the crowd mic? And I've got the response was, there is no crowd mic.
You sent that to me on text after the show, and I was like, crowd mic? There wasn't a crowd mic.
Yes.
It was just loud. It wasn't like people were yelling. There was just everyone's talking at the same time. I have to get on the mic next week and be like, quiet down.
There you go.
The coach is speaking. No, I'm not going to do that. But there was a great buzz. And the point is, there's a vibe right now around UNLV football. Not to say anything about past regimes, but they got to 9 wins a year ago. They've had a really good transfer class. They got a lot of experienced players back. They've got a really good schedule. You do notice, and I don't think people have given them credit, and I've mentioned a few times, man, the Mountain West is going to be tough. So you got to get through this thing with, like, max 2 losses, and then hopefully you're, you know, atop the voting, and the losses have to be your right ones. Otherwise, you have to go unbeaten or have one loss to get in to that one group of five spot. UNLV, because the Syracuse game was a late ad. Army went off the schedule. Syracuse went on. They could have played, you know, Southern Utah. Mm-hmm. Not to say anything about that program. Actually, that's not a bad game because it's right up the pike, and there are a lot of Las Vegans who have played and do play for that school. But they went out and scheduled Syracuse because I believe that they were confident, even with Kansas on the schedule and a road game against Houston. KU is on the road, and Boise at home, and then the Oregon State Wazoo mix into the conference are going to play Oregon State. That they were like, we can handle this schedule.
Yeah, we did a preview of the season today on the morning show, and I predicted 9-3. I predicted them 6-1 in Mountain West.
Who predicted under 500?
Nobody, because it was just me and Tyler has them going 6-6.
Okay. Now, most people would say 6-6 is 6-6 is an awful pick.
Yes.
Very much under expectations.
I would agree.
His reasoning?
A lot of the close games that I had them winning, he has. We both had as toss-ups, but he had them going the other way.
I think they'll go 7-5.
Okay.
So, and I work pretty close with the program. I think most people think they're going to be in the range that you're talking about, 8 or 9. And by the way, I will state this. This is not a pat on the back, but find me sideline reporters from around the country who will pick the school they work with to go at least 2 wins under expectations. Almost doesn't happen.
No.
You pansies. But I didn't hear Tyler's full explanation. They were really good in close games last year. A lot of it was due to special teams. A lot of it was due to the kicking of Jose Pisano. I think their freshman kicker can be really good.
He's a kid from Faith Lutheran,
right? Faith Lutheran, yep. Caden Chittenden, but he might. I mean, there are a lot of games where they may not have finished within an 8-point margin, and I think if I'm correct, they were 3-2 on one-score games. But there were a lot of games in the third and fourth quarter, and even early, where maybe they were struggling a little bit, and Pisano, you know, a little bit of life, field goal made, a little bit of life, keep him within hailing distance. And that's a big thing mentally. You hope they have that in Caden Chittenden, but let's not. There's a couple things. I'm going to get to my oven in a second. But there's a couple things. Generally, when you play close games, and they'll probably be involved in at least 7 or 8 games that are very much games going to the fourth quarter, if not more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And those things can flip year to year. Now, we'll find out this year if the way they practice, the way they coach in game, the way they make adjustments led to a lot of good close game victories a year ago. Because that might continue this year then, if it was all them. But if not, like I said, they tend to flip. So that's my worry. They have a really good schedule. So getting out to 8, 9, 10 wins. 9 and 10 is pretty tough. 9 or 10 wins is pretty tough.
Yeah, when I did it, I was looking at the other teams, and I factored in when their buys were and their travel, like the game against Hawaii. The week before, Hawaii's got to come here to play Fresno State.
Right.
And I believe UNLV is on 8 days rest. So that works in their favor.
Yep. So. But I think Friday games are really a challenge. And
yes.
They have 5 this year.
Yep.
So that's another factor. You're going to have some short weeks, short recovery periods for injuries, test your depth more. Now, I wouldn't put anything past this coaching staff. I think they're really good. And I think they're really good at adjusting during the season. And I think their personnel is much better than it was a year ago. They're deeper than they were. To me, they've got, on the D-line, they've probably got 9 or 10 guys who can work in a rotation. I think the offensive line is up to 8 guys with a couple more true freshmen on the way who could be playing by the second half of the season. So when I see depth in the trenches, then that's a reason to be confident. And the reason I held off the point on Maiava is I think Ricky White piled up a lot of his numbers, and I know you guys went through how many 40-yard catches Ricky White had a year ago.
Yes.
Explosive plays. Well, some of those were catch and run, but a lot were Ricky's open, Maiava, right to the hands, right in the bread basket, right, you know, at face level where you can – very catchable ball.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is Bischoff actually said he didn't believe Maiava – I want to get it right – not that he didn't have a great year, but he wasn't the biggest reason the go-go was awesome. And Caleb Herring, who calls the games, has said that too. Like, he's a very hard quarterback grader because he played the position, and he's very cerebral when he watches the games. He noticed a lot of things that Maiava didn't do correctly last year. So while a lot of us will say, hey, Maiava was awesome, it sounds like Bischoff and Caleb are saying, hey, there's room for improvement. Now the question is, can these two guys throw well enough to make sure you're taking advantage of all the weapons? And then is there running something that augments it so much that maybe passing not up to Maiava's level makes up for it? I threw a lot out there. So really the question is, how good can the offense be with these two new quarterbacks? I don't think Friel is going to start on Saturday, not to break any news to anyone, but between Matthew Saluka, the transfer from Holy Cross, and Campbell transfer, Haji Malik Williams, can they be good enough to make this an offense that explodes again to, you know, near 35 points per game?
Yeah, and I think they will, and the run game of both those quarterbacks, the running ability, will also help with that passing. But as Barry Odom said last night on the coach's show, one of the main things they need to do this year is limit the explosive from the other team, because we did break that number down, and I believe Tyler said the plus-minus on explosive plays of 30 or more last year, UNLV was minus 14. They allowed 44, I believe, and had 30 plays of 30 or more.
It's the biggest reason that about two-thirds of the defensive back room moved on. And they brought in experienced guys. They just had way too many shots over the top for completions. And teams really tried it, too. I mean, they did it lot. So, yeah, 44 to 30 is not a good thing. And they definitely wanted to improve on that in the offseason. We're going to talk a little Houston football because the UNLV opener is on Saturday in H-Town. But I want to remind you, on Sunday, I'm going to be over at Whiskey Stadium right across the street from the Al, 2 to 4. Cofield and ESPN Las Vegas will be there for the pregame to the Modelo Vegas Kickoff Classic. Sunday deals include ask about the specials on Modelo and cans of Modelo Negra, buckets on special, I don't want to get the price wrong. Bloody Maria's as well, beer and a shot special. It's all at Whiskey Stadium. Today through Saturday, when you go down to Whiskey Stadium, go down for happy hour right now. They're in the middle of happy hour. That's every Monday to Friday from 4 to 7. Ask about how you can win tickets to the game, because they actually have tickets are given away, but you got to go down, you got to register, and they'll tell you how you can win tickets. But ESPN Las Vegas, Cofield on the scene, 2 to 4, Whiskey Stadium, party before the game. It's right there on Polaris across from Allegiant Stadium.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
Very anticipated UNLV football season coming up. We told you last night, packed house at the Barry Odom radio show. Let's go to our cohorts in Houston as the Rebels will be on the road against the Cougars. And we got the sideline reporter who covers the Houston scene, does radio down there as well, as we bring in our buddy Jeremy Branham up with Cofield and Danny. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm very jealous that you're broadcasting live from Stadium Swim at Circa. I was there last year and one of my favorite spots in Vegas. So I heard that and I wanted to switch spots with you.
I know, right? Isn't it ridiculous when you come out here, just the pool scene and then the TVs, it's just the bets up on the board. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a great, great spot.
So I wanted you to tell me the other day we were communicating about coming on and you said, you know what, I got the debut of the coach's show down here. So first of all, where is that show? And then what's the vibe around Cougar football, because much like Vegas, and I mean Houston's beyond where we are, you know, college football's got to kind of carve and fight its space out, fight for its space. You know, I know the Big 12's big there, you know, real big with the traditional powers, but where does Houston Cougar football fall right now in terms of the vibe?
We hold it at a place called Little Woodrow's. It's a bar in Houston, and they have a bunch of them throughout the state of Texas. Great spot. They actually built a new one this year that's bigger. The vibe's good. You know, Willie Fritz, the fans are excited. I think that they've been craving, you know, some good football. And you see Willie Fritz's resume and what he did at Tulane, and been around forever, and he's won. He's won everywhere he's been, so... You know, the vibes are good, really good turnout last night, and everybody's ready. Now, as far as, you know, fighting for the public's eye in Houston, it is tough. You know, you have all three of the big three professional franchises here, and the momentum for those professional franchises are good. You know, Astros, all the ALCS that they've been to, stretch drive, 30 games left, in the thick of an AL West race, and then the Texans season starts a week from Sunday, and I would say the buzz for the Houston Texans is as high as it's been since they would wear letter jackets to Gillette Stadium and get their brains blown out.
How many people do you think will show up at the game on Saturday?
I think it'll be a good crowd, especially the season ticket holders. The sales are high on that.
Nice.
Again, a new era, so they're really excited for that. And then they released an extra student section. The student body's really turned out. Willie Fritz has done a good job going out to really some of the pep rallies and the student functions to draw support and energy from the student body. So that's pretty high. I would say about 80% capacity inside of TDECU Stadium. Yeah, I think it'll be a good turnout.
Give me your impression of Fritz as a football coach and then his personality.
Yeah, as a football coach, I think you point to the resume. You know, you go to a place like Tulane that it's not the easiest place to win. They have high academic standards, you know, in a difficult spot, kind of like Houston and UNLV, too, to draw the public eyes. You know, LSU is pretty big down there. So he did a really good job there. He's won everywhere he's been. So from a resume standpoint, everybody's very excited. Personality-wise, I've had a few chances to meet him. Yesterday was the furthest, the most that we've talked. I love him from a personality point of view. You know, he's the bee's knees, gentleman. But he get down to business, too. So everybody's pumped up. It was very nice to talk to him for the first time yesterday.
What has been the relationship like with Willie Fritz coming in and Donovan Smith returning as quarterback for the team?
Yeah, good question. I think the relationship has been good. You know, it's interesting because Donnie transfers to Houston because he thinks it's going to be a, you know, a specific offense. He transferred it into the Holgorsen offense, likes to throw it around a little bit. You know, Holgorsen would kind of joke that he wasn't so much air raid anymore, but it's kind of the principles of what you're getting. And, you know, Willie's going to be a little bit different look. So, you know, a little bit RPO stuff, run the football, pro sets, well personnel. So it's a little different. But, you know, and Donnie also had a bum shoulder a little bit during training camp. So he wasn't as active, I guess you could say, getting ready for the start of the season. But, you know, they're bond tight. We actually had Donovan on for as a player guest yesterday. Both of them say great things about each other. And I'm really excited to see what Donovan's year is like. I know that he's been getting a little bit of draft buzz. I think a lot of it's because of his size. You know, he's got a pro body. He's got a big arm. So, yeah, this will be a big year for him.
So let's talk about what's in front of him first before we talk about what's around Donovan Smith. I see O-linemen from Houston everywhere who went in the transfer portal. I know they brought guys in, so where's the line right now? And, by the way, is my description even accurate that the line's a bit in flux?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. You know, I think the whole team, the whole roster's been in flux, and I think it's probably normal with a first-year head coach. Houston has 63 newcomers, which ties Colorado for the most in the nation, which, you know, that's a lot. First-year head coach, you would expect some of that, and the offensive line's part of that. You know, a lot of new names on that offensive line. I think the starting five's going to be good. Now, how much depth do they have? You know, if you lose a body or two, how much does that impact you? So I think they're comfortable with about the first five through seven on the offensive line, but if they're going to have to go beyond that, like most teams in the country, then it might get a little bit choppy.
Receivers, I know they had some really good ones move on. How did they replenish the room?
Yeah, I like where they're at in the receiver room, and they did have some good ones move on, but Joseph Manjack, who's been really good in his couple of years with Houston, has come back. He's had both years kind of injury-prone, so being healthy will be something that's critical for him, but when he's on the field, he's been very good. Boogie Johnson's another who came back from last year. He's had a really good season. And they like a couple of the transfers that they brought in. They like a couple of the freshmen that they brought in. So from a skill position point of view, I think they're pretty good.
How about on the other side of the ball? They lost a lot of their top defensive players from last season. How's it looking for them this year?
Yeah. Shiel Wood, new defensive coordinator for Houston, is going to have some new names, and they had to enter the transfer portal to get a couple of those. Brought one to Tulane, who they're high about. So it's going to be kind of a work in progress. But I love talking to Fritz a bit yesterday and talking to him in the offseason a little, and the coaching staff a bit. They like their starters. It's a little bit about the depth, and you know, if they have some injuries, where can they plug some guys in? Do they have to move some guys around? You know, it's interesting from a first-year staff point of view, because it's, yeah, you lost, you know, X amount of players, or you lost, you know, this starter, that starter, but they're all newcomers. Like, even if those guys were to stay, they're getting their first look at the guy. So it'll be a work in progress. I think they like what they have. They like the guys that they brought in. It'll be very, very multiple on defense, too.
Southern reporter for Houston Cougar football is Jeremy Branham. He's up on Cofield and Company. We're getting ready for the 4 o'clock Pacific start on Saturday as the Rebels are in H-Town to take on the Cougars. And in front of what Jeremy's saying, a good crowd, maybe 80% capacity at their nice stadium. So we hear about players moving on, and a lot of that's a desire by the player. A lot of times new coaching staffs come in and are like, okay, this isn't what we can work with. This isn't going to work. You got to go. I've tried to talk to a lot of people about Danner Holgorsen down the stretch. What exactly was he doing the last couple of years in terms of recruiting?
I think a lot of it was he would enter. He liked to play the portal a bit. I think he wanted some more experienced guys to come in, you know, win now, at least the effort to win now. Now, especially going into the Big 12, I think it was a challenge, the transition of going from the American to the Big 12. I think you're going to have some rebuilding years. I think it's going to take a little bit of time. So I think Dana was trying to time that in the sense of, okay, let's play the portal. Let's try to bring in some of that type of talent immediately and try to, you know, keep our head above water in the Big 12 while we're making that transitional year. And I thought he brought in some good talent. Now, yeah. I think the trade-off with that, though, is you're kind of losing out on some foundational pieces. You know, you can only get so many, you know, guys to give scholarships to, and the rules have become a little bit more lax on that. But if you have to trade off for something if you want something. And I think he was going some transfer portal route, trying to get that talent in there, and then maybe traded off some of the foundational pieces of high school recruits that he could build around for years to come. It's tough now, though, because you have the, you know, if you go that route of, okay, let's build with high school talent, let's build with the young guys. And then in year one, how much are they going to compete with Big 12 talent? You know, it's tough. Also, if those guys aren't playing right away, are they going to be foundational? So if you bring in a freshman and he's not good enough to play, is he sticking around for year two? So it's tough. It's a really tricky situation for these coaches right now, and I don't envy them.
Well, you know, it reminds me of what they're trying to do at Colorado, maybe even to more of a sense of urgency. And there was so much, you know, talk from the Colorado people led by Deion Sanders that they were going to win. It's just not that easy when you're trying to have that balance. I'm looking at your schedule. You guys actually don't get Colorado this year. Am I correct on that one?
I believe that's to be true.
Yeah, I
haven't looked at it that closely. I've only looked at the non-con. I should know that. Either we don't play them or we get them at home. I know we don't go there because I booked my travel the other day.
Yeah, look at now. You guys don't have them, but in general, how do you think they're going to do in the Big 12? You got to watch the Big 12 a year ago. Can Deion get them, you know, to at least 6 or 7 wins and start to achieve at a higher level?
I think that Deion's a good coach. I think he gets a bad rap. I think that Deion is good at getting his name out there. I think Deion's really good at getting the brand out there, and I think Deion's really good at attracting talent. I think that that's evident. Now, to do that at a higher level, I think you have to stack those classes together, and I think he has. I think he's been able to do that. And then from a coaching point of view, I think he's a really good CEO. I think he knows the game. I think he knows ball. I think he hires really good people to come in there and, you know, do their jobs. I like Deion. I think Deion does good work. I think that Deion will win 6 or 7 wins. You know, I need to take a closer look at their schedule. I think they're certainly bowl capable. And I was looking at some NFL mock drafts today, and their quarterback Sanders, obviously Deion's son, and then Travis Hunter, they were both projected like top 10 picks. So, you know, they had the top shelf talent that I think you need, and I think that they're adding to their depth too. So, yeah, I think it's in play. I think that's in play for them.
Let's close with two more as Jeremy Branham's on Cofield & Company here on ESPN Las Vegas as he covers the Cougars of Houston. You got a kickoff right here on ESPN Las Vegas on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Pregame from Learfield is coming up at 3 o'clock on Saturday. I think an X factor in this game is going to be special teams. UNLV has an All-American punt and kick returner in Jacob DeJesus. From what I'm seeing and, you know, following the transfer portal, it looks like Willie Fritz thought that was a priority and actually got some guys who are pretty good return men on the other side for the Cougars.
Yeah, one of the guys he's been talking a lot about is Muse. It was a transfer from Georgia. I actually returned some kicks and returned some punts there and had some success. They've been raving about him. I would expect to see him in the kick game. I would expect to see him on the offense, too. You know, maybe the second unit of wide receivers. And Willie Fritz said he's going to play a lot of guys. He said that he wants to play a lot of guys early, kind of learn about his guys. Plus, it's so hot in Houston. You guys know about the heat in Vegas. A little different hot in Houston with the humidity. So I think he's going to want to play a lot of guys. Muse is the name to look out for in the return game. Kind of a smallish receiver, but, you know, he is a stick of dynamite. He's got tons of energy. He's fast. He's quick. He's elusive. And Fritz had a funny line too. He coordinates the special teams, and he said, "Look, he was asked a question. Why are your teams usually so good at special teams?" He says, "Well, look, I have a personal relationship with the head coach, and I get that guy to play the best players on special teams." So he puts an emphasis on that. He mans that. yeah, he plays a bunch of starters on those special teams units. He takes it seriously.
Saturday, 87, but maybe rain? What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
87's a cold front. We had a cold front coming here. It's been the mid-90s. It's been raining every day this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, spotty, like, you know, scattered storms. If it does rain, I imagine it'll be something that comes through, comes quick, and then gets out of there, hopefully, knock on wood. But that's the way it's been this week. You know, scattered storms, 30-minute shower, and then get on out of here. So if there is some rain, hopefully it's quick.
All right. The Cofield sports coat will not be coming on the trip. I have more than one. Trust me, I have more than one. Most important thing in these spots when we talk to the opposing experts is we do a podcast where we talk about the eats on the roads, on the road trips. And I've been to Houston like 6 times. I don't know that I've really figured it out. This time around, I definitely want to do some barbecue, but I'm a little time restricted. So I'm trying to find a good barbecue place that you like. And then I got to decide if I can get there on Friday night late or if I'm having lunch on Saturday there. Do you have somewhere to recommend or somewheres?
Yeah, I have a bunch.
All right.
I'm a huge fan of the eating, too. You don't get a body like mine without having to do a whole bunch of eating. I would recommend the Saturday lunch for barbecue. But a lot of the good barbecue spots, you have to get there a little early, wait in line a little bit. And a lot of my favorite barbecue spots are probably more in the suburbs. Where you guys staying? Where y'all in the
city,
I'm sure.
We're staying a little bit in the burbs, but we actually, with the football program, we do get a car, so we can hoof it somewhere.
Okay. I would recommend Corkscrew in Spring, and I would recommend their brisket.
Hello.
Ribs are good, but the brisket's phenomenal at Corkscrew. That's a little bit on the north side of town. If you're on the south side of town, Killens is good. Killens beef rib is my favorite beef rib in town. My favorite bite of brisket is Corkscrew. So those would be the two that I recommend. There's some in the city, too, that are very good. Truth Barbecue is very good. Pinkerton's is very good. J-Bar M is very good. If you're looking for brisket, I would go Corkscrew. If you're in the north side of town, beef rib, I'd recommend Killens. And, of course, I'd always recommend Tex-Mex, which is fantastic.
Of course. Yeah, is there anything else surprising in terms of maybe some ethnic, not Tex-Mex, the Mex part? Is there anything else surprising that people should look out for when they go to Houston to grab food?
I think our diversity is elite. I think that's something people don't really talk about when they talk about Houston. You know, you think of the barbecue, rightfully so. You think of the Tex-Mex, rightfully so. I think something that Houston does really well as a food town is their palate. The diversity in the city obviously is great. You know, it's one of the more diverse cities in the entire country. It's a melting pot. But that translates in their food. Like, you can find the best Tex-Mex here. You can find the best barbecue here. You can find the best Indian food here. You can find the best Korean food here, be it Vietnamese food here. So that's the one thing that I always kind of make known whenever people ask me food stuff is, yeah, they are great at Tex-Mex, and they're great at barbecue, and I'm biased, obviously, but I think you can find the best of any style of food you want here. Greek food, phenomenal. You can find whatever you want in Houston.
Holy moly, I'm fired up. Yeah, I hope I make the game. I'm jacked up. Let's go. All right, Jeremy, we'll see you out of the game. I appreciate a couple minutes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it. Anytime. I'll see you on Saturday.
There he is, Jeremy Brown. I'm sideline guy for the Cougars. We sideline people on how to eat, especially, you know, the guys. Radio's different. It's just, I tell you, when I walk the sidelines a lot of times, the competition in terms of the physique or the slenderness, man, I ain't the traditional sideline person. Like, there's no compact where I'm checking out my hair. Like, it's, but that's not my responsibility, right? My responsibility is go on the road, report on the team, give you what's going on the field, tell the stories, and eat a lot.
Exactly. You
they
have
actually
to
didn't put that in the contract.
Eating.
Yes. Yes.
I'm looking at these pictures. I might have to make a call to Learfield, see if I can get on this trip.
You backed out. I almost called you Jeremy. Jared, we had Danny was up for multiple road trips. He's just gotten too busy. He's too popular now. It's your Saturday show at TI took him out of the mix.
I stole him. I needed him.
You did. Most of the places he mentioned, I'd already had on my list.
Okay. Oh.
Corkscrew, I did not because it is a little further away. That I think he called it that J-Bar M. That's pretty close to where we're staying. And that Killens one, I've seen that a lot. And I've seen pictures of that beef rib. So
I don't know if I can eat more than one, but I might have to do that.
When you do your research for these food places before you go out of town, and then you talk to reporters in those towns, and they say those places without you mentioning them, how good does that feel?
You're vindicated.
Well, there's a lot of pressure.
I know, exactly.
People are relying on me for the information, and I've also, you know, we've also, as Jared would say, my broadcast team. I can't blow a and I don't get. I think what we're going to do this year is we're going to set up a pressurized situation. I'm stopping right now. I'll describe the pressurized situation on the other side here on Cofield and Company as we're live at Stadium Swim. We'll close it out strong with a little more food talk. And I know Jared wanted to get into the place that we don't have here in town that we should.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Danny, where are the Rebels traveling this week?
They're traveling to Houston.
I don't know how you do it, Jared. What? Jared, you said about my my speech on that town.
I can't believe you can eat when you're there. You've eaten all the H's.
I know. I don't know how to do it. I've tried to correct the New Jersey, New York accent as much as I can. I cannot. I don't know what it is. I can't do it. That's why I say Cougar so much. H town. I try.
Why? How do you say Houston?
There's no H.
Houston.
It's just Houston. Like Y-O-U. Yeah, it's weird. So I was talking about a pressurized situation. When this broadcast crew goes on the road, we like to make sure you're maxing the meal time that you have. I think I'm in control of H-Town and of Kansas City. Beyond that, we'll have to assign it. I think we should assign cities to each, Caleb Herring and Matt Neverett, and we'll see how they do.
Absolutely. Each of you get two of them.
Okay. Well, there's 12 games, so we can do more than that, but you're right.
Well, there's only six on the road.
That's a good point. You got me back. I didn't process that.
I mean, if you guys want to go to dinner, to game day meals here, you can.
We get very intense about game day, too. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Because the Raiders media are 98% snobs and piss and moan about the food at Allegiant. And, like, the UNLV media is like, this is great. Love it.
Yeah. Raiders pull out all stops. And
they still complain.
Yeah, absolutely. They try to do everything they can. Not good enough.
Never is. Highfalutin pro guys. In the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Jared, you found a good thread about restaurants that we need here. Waffle House was the leader of that discussion. I think your take on Waffle House here is inaccurate about needing extra security. I think that's other places. I think it would be wild here. But we are a 24-hour town with other 24-hour places. I think the problem in smaller towns is that is the only place. So every Tom, Dick, and Harry and moron goes there, and it turns into a toxic mix. I think we can handle our late-night restaurant eating, even if the house comes to town.
That is actually, as soon as you said that and I started to think about it, you're probably right. I just was recalling that of the several fistfights I've been in my life, three of them have been either inside a Waffle House or in a Waffle House parking lot.
I mean, it's a dynamite place at 3 o'clock in the morning anywhere around the country, and that town I will not pronounce correctly. They have some of them. I don't know if we'll make it. We'll see if we're up late one night. A good place to watch the Rebels this weekend, Rebels home on the road, is any of the Parkway Taverns. Special on football game days include $5 draft, $6 well drinks. Pitchers are cheap. You got mix and match bucket specials. I know the Rebellion is actually partying at the relatively new Decatur and Flamingo location. And by the way, the food there is now Naked City Pizza. Our good friends over at Naked City Pizza are the run of the kitchen. We'll say that. Restaurant of choice at the Decatur location of the Parkway Tavern. But any of them, great spot to watch UNLV football. Thanks to Circa for housing the show today. Stadium Swim and Dynamite as always. Mateo with a great setup. Jared on the board. Good job, Jared. We'll talk to you. Danny, excellent. That was great.
Thank you, Steve.
Please follow us on Instagram, ESPN Las Vegas, as we build that. A lot of good content up there. All the information you need.